good to have your Bibles. Always need your Bibles. You know, it's funny, all the things we've been reading about the law and things like that, that Jesus always starts saying, you have heard it said, you have heard it said. And that was one of the problems, right? One of the problems was that that's all they did. All they did was hear it said. They never got to lay eyes on the scripture for themselves. And so that's why it's good for us to have a Bible. That way you guys just don't have to say, well, AJ said this and AJ said that. You can say, well, I saw it with my own eyes. And so I know exactly in the Bible where to find it should somebody ask me. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 33, and I'm going to pray for y'all. God, thank you so much for this group of students you brought out. God, I just pray that today, God, you would inform us on the importance of our words, Lord. That God, before you, everything is seen, Lord. And so any words that we speak, anything that we promise that we'll do, anything that we commit to, Lord, you are in that, and you understand that, and you want us to follow through on that, Lord, because you're a God of your word, Lord. You said you were going to send us a Savior, and you did. You said that you would die, and you did, Lord, and you said that you would rise again, and you did. And so, Father, you are a God of your word, so I pray that you teach us as your people to be children of your word and children of our own words, Lord, that people can believe what we have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was just searching on Google, and I decided to just put in the word Christian and then the word hypocrite. Just two easy words right into Google and see what came up. Well, I found 1.1 million hits, 1.1 million websites that obviously had something to do with Christians and hypocrites with those words. I'm sure many of you guys in your schools or anywhere, I know I hear it all the time, hey, Christians are hypocrites. This is why I don't believe, whatever. They love to use that as an excuse for why they won't submit to Christ. Now, if you don't know what a hypocrite is, it's someone who says one thing but then does another thing, right? And today we're going to look at how we can not be hypocrites, right? Obviously, there's a lot of talk on the internet, a lot of talk in the world about being hypocrites, and we want to see how today we can be true with the words that we speak and how people can believe us without having to promise anything, without having to say, cross your heart and hope to die, right? That's the name of this message, is cross your heart no more. You guys remember using those things when probably you were younger and stuff like that? You like always wanted somebody to promise something to you. Like if something ever happened that was like in your favor, you wanted them to make sure they crossed their heart that it was going to happen. I remember for me, I would always make people do it at lunchtime. I would always bring some good food or something that I was like able to trade with. Remember like back in the day, like trading food was where it was at. You always wanted to get like a better thing. And so I'd be like, dude, I got some fruit snacks, right? I got the goods. And today I'm going to make myself a deal for some pudding, right? So I find some guy and I'm like, hey dude, listen, I got these fruit snacks. I'll trade you for your pudding. And he's like, all right. Yeah. I guess I can do that. All right. You promise? Yeah. Cross your heart and hope to die? Yeah. All right. Like, good. That's good, right? That means, like, you've sealed the deal, right? That means, like, this person better be ready to, like, die before they give up that pudding, right? They better, I'm gonna become looking for them because they've, like, crossed their heart, right? And if you don't know, it's kind of ridiculous to say that, but actually its roots are semi-religious, I guess you could say. The cross your heart part of, what you would say was actually making the sign of the cross, the sign of Christ, and you would do it over your heart. Now, if you know that the Bible says your heart is everything that you are, everything you are. So by crossing your heart, you're basically saying, I'm making this oath to God. But of course, it's very silly, right? You're basically saying that you should be willing to die before breaking this bond because you've made it before God. And then they added stick a needle in your eye later on. I don't know where that came from. I think that was just a bunch of like little first graders who just found a rhyming word to it. But today we want to look at what people were doing in Jesus' time. Because here's the deal. They were doing something just as silly as cross your heart and hope to die. It was meaningless to say that. And so we want to be people who stop promising, stop having to say these words, and start delivering, start committing on the words that we say. We need to cross our hearts no more. So before we get started, let's read our entire text. Verse 33. Again, you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by earth, for it's his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it's his city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes and your no be no, for whatever is more than this is from the evil one. So the first point we're going to look at tonight is called stop swearing. Now let me just give you a little bit more information on this, okay? When I'm talking about swearing right now, this whole segment, I'm not talking about cuss words. I'm not saying about talking about bad words. We're not talking about that, although you shouldn't do those things. We're talking about swearing as far as saying, I swear I'm going to do this, or I promise to do this, making an oath, taking a promise. That's what we're talking about. Think pinky swear, not cuss word, all right? Now today, if you guys have ever seen a court show, or I don't probably think you've been in court before, but they make you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. And they add those things at the end of it, right? And as early as 1789, we can find documents that had these words in there, so help me God, like I swear, so help me God. And in fact, our own President Obama added those words to the end of his presidential inauguration. They're actually not mandatory to have when you're being sworn into the office of president, but he actually had them added. And I was doing some work on it, because that's a swear, that's an oath, right? To say, I swear that I'm going to do this, so help me God, right? And I actually found a group on the internet called No Help Me God, and it's actually a group of atheists who's trying to get rid of those words at the end of oaths, so that someday you'll have to go to court or something and you'll never have to say those words again. And I even saw one blog from an atheist who said, what am I supposed to do? Tomorrow I'm going to go to court and I know they're going to make me swear on a Bible that I'm going to tell the truth, so help me God. Well, what do I do if I don't believe in God, right? There's all this talk about swearing by God's name. But we should be the ones who uphold these things, right? Who uphold God's name in government and in our schools. We should be the ones to stick up for these things. The nation was founded on Christian principles. That's why we can see so early, 1789, those years that they were swearing by God's name, meaning, but not in a bad way, right? They were using God's name to say, we acknowledge that he is God and that he is in our promise that we're making here. And so that was a long time ago. But the reason why people started saying this is because it gave them this realization. They thought that if they said, I swear by God, that by for some reason it would mean that it was more binding than anything else. It's like they were inviting God into their promise. That it wasn't just a promise that they made before their mom or their dad or their friend, but it was a promise that they made before a holy God. And here's the deal. The same thing's been going on since the beginning of man, right? Back then it was used to show a binding agreement between you and God. We see many times in the Old Testament people making oaths, people swearing, people making these promises. Even God himself made an oath. If you guys remember the story of Abraham and Isaac, when he's about to go, God says, hey, you should sacrifice your son to me, your only son right now, right? And Isaac's like, or Abraham's like, all right, I'll do it. I love you so much, I will give you the best of what I have. So he's about to go over there, right about to kill his son, to sacrifice to the Lord. And the Lord says, stop, don't lay a hand on the boy. Don't touch him. Now that today I've seen that you love me more than you love even your son, and so I myself will provide the sacrifice for you. He finds a sacrifice that's caught in the bush over there, and then they sacrifice it. But that day, God says, I swear, I promise, I take an oath, whatever you want to say, that Abraham, your descendants will be like the stars in heaven, and that whoever will curse you will be cursed, and whoever bless you will be blessed. So God himself used to swear oaths. And many times we see people and nations making oaths, making promises to each other on what they're going to do. And these were legal agreements. You could take somebody to court if they didn't follow through on these things. They may even be punishable up to death if they didn't follow through on these things. There's this one funny thing. There was this one sect of religious people back then who took the words that they said so seriously that they wouldn't even like say they were just so cautious with their words. Like today, you know, if like somebody's like, hey, look at my dog. Isn't it like so cute? And it's like the ugliest dog in the world. Sometimes you're like, oh yeah, oh, really, really nice looking dog. You know what I mean? Like just out of courtesy or something like that. Well, back then, these people were so strict with what they said. They didn't even want to let anything come out of their mouths that wasn't truth, because they knew that they would be bound to God by that. That if they were performing like a wedding ceremony and the father of the bride was like, hey, you know, religious person, hey, look how beautiful this bride is, huh? Isn't my daughter a lovely bride? They were so cautious with their words that if they really didn't think that she was a pretty bride, they'd be like, I can't tell a lie. She's not pretty. What can I say, right? That's pretty crazy. That's funny, right? But oaths and words were looked at as very serious business back then, right? That's why they would say those things. They took their words very seriously. Numbers chapter 30, verse 2 says, "If a man vows to the Lord or swears an oath to bind him by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do all according to the that proceeds from his mouth." So let's look at the scripture again. Let's see what the problem with swearing or promising is. Let's look at verse 34 again. "But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by earth, for it's his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or one hair black." So these are examples of what they said back then. They would swear by God's throne. They would swear by earth. They would swear by heaven. They would swear by their own head. And there was two problems with saying that. The two problems with what they were doing here. The first one is that it no longer held the same meaning as it used to, right? They ended up just using God's name in vain. The Bible says, "Be careful how you treat God's name, because he will not hold you guiltless who take his name in vain." And we see that all day these days, right? Back then they used to say, "I swear to God that I'm going to do this and that we won't attack each other, two nations," something really important. Or "I swear to God that I'm going to follow you this day for the rest of my life." But today, you guys understand, it's just been changed now. Now it's pretty much just a way of taking God's name in vain. Like, I mean, I hear people say, "I swear to God for the littlest things." Like, "Man, I swear to God this is like the best bowl of ice cream I've ever had," right? Or, "I swear to God, it's cold outside." Like, all right, that doesn't have any, there's no reason to swear there. You're just basically taking the Lord's name in vain. Back then, they used it to show that they were going to come through on a promise. That by God, the mighty, the powerful, the holy, I've made this promise. But the problem was that even near Jesus' time, as we're seeing here, it's starting to lose its meaning. People were starting to make vain promises. And whether they swore by God or swore by anything else, they were just empty words that they never planned on keeping in the first place. And I want you guys to think about that as we go through it today. How are you doing with the promises you've made? Because many times we like to say, "Oh, I promise I'll do this and I promise I'll do that." But do we say these things just so God, we think, will get off our back, or our parents will get off our back, or whatever reason? Why do we say the words that we say? Because we've actually thought about them, or because it's just a way to get people, to make it look like we're good people? Because if you do those things, then you're a hypocrite, right? That's what a hypocrite does. So the second problem, besides swearing is taking God's name in vain, the second thing is that because who are you to swear by anything? I love that. Because verse 34 says, "You shouldn't swear by heaven, for it's God's throne." So this was the most binding of all promises. If you said this, and somebody heard you say you swear to God or by God's throne that you're going to do this, this was a very binding agreement. This was something that, listen, if you don't come through on this, I'm taking you to court, right? You swear by God's throne to pay me back my money and you don't, I'm going to come looking for you, because this is a big promise, right? Because God is supreme, and so to swear by him was the most binding of all promises. So to say this was pretty much to say, listen, the only way that I'm not going to pay back this debt that I've sworn to by God to you is if I die, right? That's basically the only way that you should be able to get out of this oath or this agreement that you've made. Verse 35 says, "Don't swear by earth, because it's God's footstool." I love that, right? First you have God's throne, and then you have earth, God's footstool. I love that like imagery of God being so huge that God's just chilling out on his throne up in heaven and just like kicks his feet up and they're on earth, right? Because he's like so huge and so mighty. But here's the deal. They say don't swear by earth back then, because who are you to swear by earth? Were you there when God laid the foundations? Were you there when God created the world? And then it says, don't swear by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the king, meaning the Jesus city, right? It's the city where Jesus is going to come back someday, put his foot down on Mount Olive and bring back the end of the world, right? And so it's not our city. So how could we swear by these things when we have no authority to pay back on these things? And these examples were a little less binding. God was the most binding of all, but if you swore by earth or swore by Jerusalem, they were a lot less binding. And verse 36 says, "Don't even swear by your own head, because you cannot make one hair white or black." I love that. Jesus saying, not only is heaven not yours, not only is the earth not yours, not only is Jerusalem not yours, but your own head isn't even yours. You don't even have the authority. You know, some people, they used to say back then, I swear by my own head that I'll do this or I'll do that. And Jesus is saying, why would you do that? Can you make one of the thousands of hairs on your head, by you saying those things, could you make one of them white or black? No, right? We can't do that. I'm pretty sure that all of us will go gray someday if we make it to be that old. And our body's never going to ask us, hey, would you like your hair to turn gray, right? It's never going to do that. It's just going to do it on its own because we have no authority over our own bodies like that. And so Jesus says, don't even swear by your own head because you can't even control one follicle of your hair. And this is why God could make an oath. Maybe you're thinking, well, how come God swore, but we can't? How come God said, I swear to do this, but we can't? Because God can deliver on these things. The earth is God's. Heaven is God's. We are God's. And God can make all these things happen. And so he can promise these things. But the thing that Jesus was doing here, he was attacking their whole system. Because many times, here's what would be happening. People would actually avoid swearing by God just so they wouldn't have to follow through on the promises that they made. So they'd get in a conversation. They'd be like, hey, man, are you going to do this? Yeah. I'll do it. I'll swear by Jerusalem. We'll swear by Jerusalem. Well, you should at least swear by earth. All right, I'll swear by earth. All right, well, but they didn't want to swear by heaven because if they did, then it was legally binding. It was a very serious thing to say. But Jesus was showing, listen, an oath was supposed to be something special, right? In the Old Testament, you see oaths and swears being made between God and man, between nations, not just silly things, right? Not like I swear that I'm going to visit Disneyland before I'm 30 or something like that, right? Those are silly things, but that's what the world's come to. And so Jesus says, we better stop promising and we better start doing what we say we're going to do. And so if we're going to do that, how can we do that? Because the world wants a promise, right? So many times maybe you're talking to somebody and you're like, promise me this or promise me that. So how can we make sure that people believe what it is we're saying? This brings us to our second point, which is called start committing. Maybe you guys have heard someone say, like, this person can walk the walk, but can they talk the talk? And you can understand that because anybody can say anything, right? I can tell you guys that I'm a great painter, a great basketball player, a great mechanic, I could tell you a million things that I'm great at. But there comes a time to back up what you say, right? You can tell anybody anything. You can lie all day and say that you're doing this and you're doing that and I'm so awesome at these things. But the point is that you need to deliver on the things that you've said. And Jesus says, listen, I don't want you to be one of those people who just promises things, who just says this is what you do. I want you to be a person who commits on the things that you say, that doesn't use your words loosely. So let's look at verse 37 and see what he says. He says, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than this is from the evil one. So Jesus is saying, hey, instead of promising the world to everybody, instead of swearing by God or swearing by anybody or anything for that matter, instead of promising, just say yes and just say no. It's a shame in the first place that God had to tell us this, right? Because promises and oaths and stuff like that were pretty much shown and used between people because people didn't trust each other, ultimately. That we're so sinful that we have to make some sort of an extra promise just to come through on our word, that we can't just say yes and people will believe us. You guys see this probably, right? I've done this many a times, right? You let somebody borrow your stuff and you're like, you promise you're going to give that back, dude? Yeah, I will. You promise? And you ask him like 15 times, like, you better give that back, right? Because if your friend says, hey, can I borrow your iPod? And you're like, yeah. And you're like, will you just bring it back? Yeah. Like, that's unsettling to you. It's unsettling to us. We want them to, like, give us some sort of collateral. We want them to give us some sort of agreement, some sort of cross your heart, hope to die thing so that we know we get our stuff back. But that's sad, right? Because that shows that we don't really trust people and that we're not people of our word, right? Or how sad that we have to actually promise our parents that we're going to do our homework or do chores, that it isn't enough just to say, hey, I'm going to do it, and that they can believe you when you just say that instead of having to swear or promise. And it's not their fault, right? Because it's our fault for lowering the value of words and promising over and over, and I promise to do this. I know, but I promise. Or when you're in trouble, I know, I promise I'll never do that again, though, just to get your parents off your back. And then you continue in the same things that you've been doing. You know, I promise to do better in school, or I promise to be more respectful. And then you end up doing the same things that you've always done. Then that's why people demand promises out of you, because you've told them before that you were going to do it, but you haven't delivered on it. So Jesus is saying we need to be those who say what we mean and mean what we say, because that's what God does, right? Every promise, every word that God speaks, he delivers on. And so we, the church, the body of Christ, image bearers of Christ, followers of Christ, should be known for the things that he is known for, right? Not that we're ever going to be perfect, but there's a long gap between perfect and hypocrite, right? Here's perfect God. Here's us, never going to be perfect, if we're trying as hard as we possibly can, we're never over here in the realm of hypocrites, right? Because a hypocrite is a person who repeatedly fails because they want to. It's a person who says, you know what, dude, I don't care. I just want to promise with my words so people will leave me alone or whatever, and then I'm going to not even deliver on what I say. The point here that Jesus is making is God is very decisive, right? God says yes, and God says no. God never says maybe, right? He never says maybe. He may say no to your prayer and say because you need to grow, or no, the timing's not right, but he never says maybe. Maybe I'll do that. I'll think about it, right? He's never like, oh, maybe I'll forgive your sins. Maybe I'll send you a savior. Hey, and if you're really good, maybe you'll get to heaven. He never says maybe, right? And that's a great thing. I'm glad he doesn't say that. He says yes and no. He never wavers between two opinions. The Bible says that the word of God will never pass away, and that we can live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So if God's word will never pass away, then God and his word are unchanging. Because that means that if every word we can live by that God says, that means that God is very thoughtful about the words that he speaks. He never just says anything without, well, he's God, he's perfect. He speaks perfect all the time, but he never makes vain promises, right? When God says, I will do this, we can trust him that he will do this. So when he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, we can trust that. People have been living by the word of God for thousands of years. We live by it now. And if should the Lord not come back anytime soon, people will continue to live by the word of God because it's perfect truth. And although we'll never be able to speak perfect truth, I'm not trying to put out there, you guys, that like all of a sudden you should just be, every word that you say is going to be perfect. You're never going to have a slip up. But you can be so much more than you are now with your words. I think we should start to be people who think about every word that comes out of our mouths. Imagine if we lived in such a way that we guard our mouths like God does, where we think about every word that comes out, that before we gossip, before we make a promise, before we say a cuss word, anything we say, is this something that God would want? Is this something that's glorifying to God? So how can we do this? What does this practically mean to not swear? Well, first, I want you guys to know this, like this is as much as possible, okay? If you guys ever become president or class president or I don't know, whatever else they make you do, maybe hope you never have to go to court, but if you do and they ask you to like swear on a Bible, swear to God that you'll tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, that's okay. I don't want you guys to think that you're like committing a sin or something like that if you're asked by somebody to do that. It just means watch your words around the people, right? If you got to go to court and do that, that's a whole nother thing. Jesus says, let your yes be yes. Meaning, here's the deal for the yes part. Yes means commitment, right? Yes means, yes, I'm going to do it. Whatever you're saying yes to, you're saying I'm going to do it. And so he says, when you commit to something, you should do it. You should be known as a person who says, when I say yes to this, then I'm going to follow through on it. That you don't have to promise or cross your heart, perform a ritual dance. You don't have to do anything. Like you can just say yes and people will believe you. And you're a person who commits to what they say. Now, of course, I mean godly things, okay? I don't want you to leave today and be like, man, you know, I promised some guy like in 20 years we were going to rob that bank. And I said yes. So we better do this, man. Or I promised some kid yes that we were going to, you know, we were going to, you know, drink someday. I better get on that because God says I should be a man of my word. No, you should be a person of your word when it comes to godly things. We should, so funnier, because earlier Jesus spoke about different levels of commitment, right? He said that swearing by God was the most binding, but swearing by your own head was the least of all. And I love it because it's so silly because they say that just because they swore by God that for some reason God was more present than he is any other time. But that's silly, right? Because God's always present. You don't have to use the word of God. You don't have to use his name for him to be closer. Jesus says, say yes, because God is what is called omnipresent or omniscient, all-knowing, everywhere. So God does not want you to commit to the words you say because you've said, I swear to God, or I don't swear to God, or whatever. He wants you to commit because God's everywhere at every point. God's here right now. God's at your house. God's in the universe. God's on the moon. God's everywhere at every time. That's the omniscient or the omnipresence of God, and he's all-knowing. So no longer do we have to swear by God, because just by saying, yes, I commit to this, it's the exact same thing as if you would say, I swear by God, because God is there in your conversation, and he understands it. He's aware of everything. And this is good because this will help you not be a hypocrite, okay? Because if every time you think about what you're about to say, you say, God is here, God is about to hear what I'm going to say, you won't be as loose with your language, with the things that you say. You see, the problem with a hypocrite is they forget that God hears and sees everything. They feel as if they can say the right things and say that I'm going to do this and then live differently. Because who cares, right? Nobody knows that I'm going to not follow through on my promises. Yes, but God does, right? Who cares if the whole world sees and not God? But God sees, so who cares about anything else? We should be more concerned about him. I want you guys to think about this week the commitments that you've made, all right? I mean from the biggest to the smallest commitments. How have you done on following through with these things, right? I mean, if you committed to go to be on this a team, to be part of a team, then be it. If you committed your life, that's probably something pretty small, you know? Maybe a middle thing is you've committed to say yes to help out your parents more often, then you should do that because you've committed to that. And if you, the most important, you've committed your life to Christ, you've said yes to Christ, and you need to start delivering on that. If you said yes to faith and yes that you want to read your Bible more and you haven't, it's time to start paying back these things because you made a commitment to God, and you need to remember who you said these things to God, the creator of the universe. Maybe you guys have made promises to your families, maybe to talk back no more, to be nicer to siblings, to really try your hardest in school. Anything that you commit to as a Christian that is good, God is in that, okay? God hears that. God sees that. God wants you to act on what you say. Ecclesiastes 5:4 says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay for it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. I love that. God says, listen, when you say something, and you say you're going to do something, you better pay on that because I don't have time for fools. Because only a fool would say, I'm going to do something and then do the opposite. So Jesus says, it's better if you just don't even promise anything than to promise and not deliver on it. So start delivering on what you said, you guys, because God has not forgotten the commitments that you've made. But then Jesus also said one other thing, right? He said, then let your no be your no. So we need to talk about that real quick. I have a pastor friend of mine, and I'll never forget this, you guys, and I don't want you to forget either. He said, no is a spiritual word too, okay? No can be a spiritual word too. Sometimes there's a lot of us who think that we have to commit to everything, that if somebody asks us to do something, we have to be like, yes, and I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to, you're going to end up getting overwhelmed. Jesus is saying, no, take the maybe out of the commitment. Stop saying, maybe I'll do better. Stop doing maybe I'll do this. Say yes or no. Be a person who says yes or no. Because sometimes things can seem great that we want to say yes to, but in fact, they're hindering our spiritual growth. Like maybe Sunday morning is your morning to come to Velocity, to hear the word of God, to worship, to do these things. And maybe you're really tired and sleeping in seems like a really good thing, right? Well, you should say no to that, right? You shouldn't be like, yeah, I should do that. No. Or maybe you have a friend who's invited you over to stay over the night on Saturday night, and you're like, but if I do, I'm going to miss Velocity, and I'm going to miss coming to church. Man, you know what? This seems like a really good thing because it's my friend, and I love them, and I want to hang out with them, but I'm going to sacrifice my time at church for that. So I should probably say no to that, right? Don't say, maybe I'll go to Velocity if I'm not feeling all right, or maybe I'll read my Bible if we have enough time. You need to be someone who says, yes, I'll do this, or no, I won't do that. Jesus is saying, better to say no than to say yes and not pay back on. But here's the deal. I don't want you guys to use that as like a cop-out, all right? I don't want you to be like, hey, Jesus said no. So when I was asked if I was reading my Bible, I said no. And if I was asked if I was praying, I said no, right? Say no to things that are spiritually hindering your growth, not no to the good things of God. But no is a great thing to do because sometimes life can become overwhelming, and as you guys become older and you're going to get more busy, and so it's important to focus on God. And so sometimes we have to say no to things that will take the focus off God. We need to stop associating no as this negative word. Sometimes we say no a lot and we think like, well, we can't say no as Christians. We should be people who say yes all the time. That's not true. We should say yes to the things of God and no to the things of the world. So cross your heart no more, all right? I hope you guys this week try really hard to get maybe out of your vocabulary. Think about the decisions you need to make. Think about the things that come up and make a godly answer of yes or no. Say, yes, I'll follow Christ. Yes, I'll obey my parents, but no, I won't be impure. No, I won't do drugs. No, I won't give up my time that God gives me, not even for the closest of friends. And here's the deal, you guys. Maybe some of you guys today, you sit here and you're thinking, man, God's really going to want me to come through on my commitments. I've made a lot of commitments to people in my life. Well, you need to start paying back on those things. And if you haven't done a good job on them, then guess what? If you've given your life to Christ, this is just a time to repent and say, God, my heart is not fully right. I haven't been doing a great job at committing to following through on the commitments I've made, but I know that you can help me do this. You know, this one time I ordered a pizza, and of course, when you call the pizza place, you say, I gave them my credit card number, and they're like, all right, we're going to pretty much, there's a oath that's made there, right? I'm like, I'll promise you the money for the pizza if you promise to bring me my pizza, to deliver my pizza, right? So we made a promise there. I said, hey, I promised to pay you. You promised to bring the pizza. Great. So I'm waiting for my pizza that they said was going to come in half an hour, and it didn't come. And like over an hour went by and the pizza hadn't come. And I'm like, what's the deal? So I call the pizza place and I'm like, hey, hi, I'm AJ. I ordered a pizza like an hour ago. Just wondering where the pizza is. Oh man, we totally forgot. And they asked me this question. Do you still want the pizza? Well, of course I still want the pizza. I'm starving, right? You guys told me you were going to bring me the pizza. So yes, of course, even though you're late, I still want you to bring the pizza, please. And the same thing is for God, okay? Sometimes we made a commitment to God and we've delayed on paying what we've said we've going to do. And God's like what I said, right? He's like, listen, I know that you've been late and I know you messed up, but if you just ask for forgiveness, I still want you to come through on these things that you've told me you're going to do. I'm still waiting on you to deliver the promises that you've said. But here's the deal. God's patient. God is long-suffering. But God still waits for you to continue to do the things that you've promised to. So this time, you guys, when you commit and you think about the things you've committed to, remember those things, all right? That God's waiting for you to deliver on them, because even if you don't take your words seriously, God does. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. God, thank you for never using maybe. Thank you for answering our prayers, Lord, with a simple yes and no. And God, I know there's a lot of people maybe who've been praying a lot of things or praying for a lot of things this week and months, Lord, and maybe the answer was no and not what they wanted, Lord. I pray that they would know that the reason you've only said no, God, is because it's something that would have hindered their spiritual growth. Even seemingly good things, Lord, can hinder our growth. So, Father, I pray for this group this week, God, that we would take the maybe out of our vocabulary. We would start thinking about our words that we speak and know that you are with us, you hear them, and you will hold us to them. So God, help us be men and women of your word and our word. In your name we pray. Amen.